Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you still call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's L-E-W-Y, L-E-W-I-S, and the number 5. It's also right there on the screen for you, so be sure to follow me. And thanks for tuning in to today's show. I do have a guest. I'll introduce him in a minute. Most of week 9 is in the books. We are recording Monday during the midday. My guest and I will be talking about injuries because, man, it happens each and every week. Our thoughts on week 9, talking about some players, like how are we valuing them, and our weekly waiver targets. So we do have a lot to get into. So let's get fantasy. Joining me here today is Dane, a.k.a. Mad Dog. Why don't you introduce yourself and give the listeners and viewers a little bit of taste of you?
Yo, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on today. As you already introduced, I'm the Mad Dog. You can find me on Twitter at FF_TheMadDog. You can catch my work on Dynasty Degens, Player Profiler, News Desk. And starting next week, I'm going to be the co-host on Last Call for Fantasy Sports Advice Network. So that's where you can catch all my news.
Awesome, man. Thank you for taking time and joining me. I know our schedules before were like not in line, but hey, I'm happy you're here. We both do work for Player Profiler. It's awesome. I know we are looking for other guys to join. So if you need to, hit us up on Player Profiler Now Plus as well. But how was your week 9 like overall? I know we have one more game tonight, but overall, how's your week 9 going,
man? Other than trying to sort through those injuries and reading the tweets that are coming out today, overall the record was pretty good. I'm projected for 14 wins out of my 19 dynasty leagues. Getting victories in Scott Fishbowl and my one redraft league that I have, so overall pretty good.
Awesome. Good to hear. Yeah, I mean, you talked about it. Injuries. Man, Tucker Kraft is reported have torn his ACL. That is a big blow for the Packers. I mean, last week he just led all receiving with 143, and then he comes back in a weird game against the Panthers. I mean, a stunner if you'd ask me. You know, being a Packer fan sucked, but losing him is a big deal. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's the same. Like, I think the offense totally revolves around Tucker Kraft. You've seen the wide receivers that all are kind of in the same bucket where they show flashes, but they never really stand out and can command targets and take a role in that offense. With Tucker Kraft, it was, you knew that if Jordan Love was in trouble, he's finding Kraft. You know, once Kraft is in the receiving game, it opens up things for Josh Jacobs, and I think the Packers are going to be in real trouble. I think they need somebody to step up. And, you know, I think it's going to be on Matt LaFleur to figure out what wide receiver is going to turn into a de facto alpha here.
Yeah, definitely. And even in that game, Matthew Golden injured his shoulder. He didn't even return. I feel like he's been a big disappointment, you know, being that first round receiver since Jonovan Walker or whatever from Florida State. But first time they drafted a receiver and he hasn't really produced. I mean, even look at Christian Watson has produced in the two lone weeks that he's came back from his ACL. It's just disappointment, I guess, myself and Packer fans in general. Also, next is CJ Stroud concussed. That looked like a bad, bad hit, vicious hit. It almost gave you that Tua-esque, you know, sit there and just did not move. How you feel?
Yeah, it's a play that, you know, you can see when I watched the replay more, like Stroud had no idea that there was a defender to his right. Like I know that he's not a mobile quarterback, but you still have to know how to slide. I think it was a bit of a late slide. It's a hit that the defender should have laid off on, in my opinion, but it's kind of on Stroud, and now we're hearing from DeMeco Ryans, like it's now a Broncos issue for what happened to Stroud, but it wasn't a problem. It was more on the quarterback last year. So I found that an interesting storyline that when they knocked Trevor Lawrence out of the game last year on pretty much the exact same play, he's now kind of crying to be victim about that, protecting his star quarterback. But I think Stroud has to be more aware. You know, you're in the pocket, you're kind of deciphering defenses. You have to know that somebody is coming on the right edge.
Yeah.
Probably should have got down faster. It's unfortunate because I do have a few Stroud shares that on competing teams, I'm going to be in a bind to go buy another quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in this late in the season. I mean, there's always somebody out there, but it just sucks. He had what, his first 300 yard game last week since week 5 of the 2024 season. Try and bounce back with that. You know, he had Nico Collins finally healthy. It's just unfortunate for him. Wide receiver Brian Thomas left the game with an ankle injury. We're going to talk about him later on, but man, he's been a disappointment for sure.
Yeah. I think it's just it's the way the season's gone for him, right? He's had a wrist injury. There's an ankle injury. There always seems like there's an underlying problem with him. We had such big things heading into the season with him, with the new coach and Liam Cohen. We thought he was going to be running out of the slot. And you're right. It's been a complete disappointment for where you've from where you've drafted him.
Yeah, definitely. And even with the Jags, Brian or Travis Hunter did go on the IR, which was a surprise. I mean, he injured his knee during practice. It sounded like it was a non-contact knee injury, and he's placed on IR. They haven't really sounded like they did much examination, because they don't know if it's a torn ACL or just a minor injury. So it's kind of, you know, hearsay, but they're supposed to do more testing this week on it. It's a blow for Jacksonville and Travis Hunter in general, being the second overall draft pick.
Yeah, absolutely. They took a big swing on getting Travis Hunter. He obviously had the breakout last week or 2 weeks ago. So we had that before the bye. We have this now. I don't understand why they're waiting. Maybe they need swelling to go down on the knee. It might be a meniscus issue. It might be a bone bruise, not to speculate, but hopefully it isn't an ACL and we can see him come back in the year, because they are in a divisional fight.
Yeah, definitely. And Colts just lost this week, so you never know. Wide receiver Puka Nacua, he left the game in the third quarter. He's saying that he is okay. I think it's more they're up by so much. Why bring him back? You know, he got injured a few weeks ago, missed, what, 2-3 games, then the bye week. I think it's more precautionary than anything else for him this week.
Yeah, when is Puka not banged up? He catches everything. He sells out for every single catch. It is what it is. He's an elite asset. But, yeah, every game it seems like if he's not in the tent, he's on the sidelines or takes a while to get back out. So hopefully he's okay and he can keep putting up points for us.
Definitely. A couple other guys, running back – Aaron Jones' shoulder, it sounds like an AC sprain. And I think didn't he have an issue earlier this year with a hamstring and then now a shoulder injury again. Jordan Mason stock, does he go up? He hasn't looked good the last 2 weeks since Aaron Jones joined him.
Yeah, since that backfield's been split again, we've seen Jordan Mason drop, but J.J. McCarthy looked good. If you look at the stat line, he didn't do anything impressive, but I think that Vikings team is going to start dealing again. And when we saw Jordan Mason have the majority of the workload, he looked good. Yep. So I think that if you're stashing him, he's plug and play, and you'll be satisfied with what he's going to give you.
Definitely. Cole Kmet left with concussion as well. Open up the door for Loveland to have a huge game, monster game-winning touchdown, if you will, when Bengals don't know how to tackle still. Just crazy game that was.
Yeah, might be an issue with Kmet more in the blocking department. Definitely better. We've all hoped that that Loveland was having that breakout. We saw it. I think he's going to get more involved in that offense. Tough blow for Kmet. I always think that he was a good floor play for you, but this definitely opens up the door for Loveland to do more for us.
Yeah, definitely. Samaji Perine, ankle. Kayshon Boutte, left. That's a big one, too, for them. Hamstring. Left the door open for Pop Douglas, which he did catch a touchdown and 100 yards. So that's a big, big bonus for him, that Boutte left. Luke McCaffrey, last night, broken collarbone. He's going to be out for minimum 6 games, if not the rest of the season. Unfortunate for him, especially with Terry McLaurin. God, who knows what's going on with him re-injuring his quad. Mm-hmm. Are you kind of ruled out for week 10? Just terrible.
Yeah, I agree. McCaffrey, I think he sees the opportunity of McLaurin being out. Mariota seemed to have a little bit of a rapport built with him. And McCaffrey did offer a low floor. He might have been more of a best ball player for us. So this is tough to see. I think that the pedigree is there. You know, we've seen his dad. We have obviously seen his brother. I think we all had hopes that he was going to be that diamond in the rough in later draft or in rookie drafts years ago. But yeah, tough news.
Yeah, third round draft capital for him. But the biggest news from that game, Jaden Daniels out indefinitely with a dislocated elbow. It is gruesome if you've seen the replay of that. I mean, it's another injury. It's basically a wash season for Daniels overall, dealing with hamstring, knee issues, now his elbow.
Yeah. So did you end up watching the game?
I actually fell asleep during it. Yeah.
So yeah, that's one. Like, I ended up having to tweet that last night, and I saw a few tweets of people saying his leg was wrapped up, and like I told you backstage, I saw that elbow immediately. That was enough. I didn't need to watch the replays. But why the hell was he in the game? You know, at that point, like, you just didn't have anything going. I think you kind of wave the white flag and you get your franchise quarterback out of there. So that's kind of insult to injury on top of it.
Yeah, 38 to 14, 7 minutes left. You weren't coming back. I mean, Sam Darnold looked freaking amazing, having 4 touchdowns. What is he, like 13 for 13 with 14 or 4 touchdowns at the end of the game, like 20 for 23. You weren't going to come back. And Daniels has been injured the last, 4 or 5 games. So why would you have him in there? It's just unfortunately, but this is what you get with a running quarterback, puts his body on the line each and every week. You know, you don't want to bring up the RG3 model, but it's hard because it's the same, you know, uniform, same rushing ability, pocket passer can be, but they're always, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a low-hanging fruit, and in our process going into the draft that year, that was a problem. Like, we definitely thought that Jaden Daniels was susceptible to taking big hits. You know, he didn't always get out of bounds, or he didn't take a slide. He tried to go for the yardage. And while you enjoy that, this unfortunately can be an outcome of it. So hopefully it's good news. He'll be back ready to go next year, and he'll still become an elite asset for us.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's talk about some of these games. Again, we are recording on Monday, so the Arizona and Dallas game has not even started. We're midday. I think that game is going to be a shootout tonight anyways. I think Dallas wins, though, with Jacoby Myers in that starter for the Cardinals, though.
Yeah, and, you know, whether it's people calling it a soft benching, I kind of laugh at that phrase. Like, I think we've seen Brissett kind of have a better handle on the passing game for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Can the run game do anything against a porous Cowboys defense? We'll see. You know, the Cowboys, they've been lighting the world on fire scoring points, but they're also giving up the most points. So I think you're right. I think we can see a big game from Trey McBride on the Cardinals side. Hopefully Marvin Harrison Jr. gets going a little bit.
Yep. I think both of those guys fall in the end zone, especially against this Dallas defense. It just reminds me of the Bengals in general, like, you know, horrible defense, great offense last year with Joe Burrow just leading that team. Unfortunately, they didn't even make the playoffs. Dallas has its work cut out for them this year. How do you feel overall week 9 went for game wise?
Again, playing catch up, I think one game I was interested in was, you know, before we get into the other ones we're talking about, I wanted to see if Henderson had his breakout game. He looked good. You know, the Falcons, you don't really know what you're getting with that team. You know, one week they look great. The next they look like, you know, they could be a college team or a CFL team. They look so dysfunctional. Overall, yeah, good week. Couple games that were surprising. My Broncos snuck out a win. I don't think they had too good of a first half, but yeah, pulled it out.
Fourth quarter comeback team, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking to see what Jackson Dart was going to do with no Cam Scadaboo, and he produced. He got his numbers. Unfortunately, lost, you know, against CMC, having a nice game, bounce back game. And that's the thing is like we're looking at these games. How did everyone do from the week before to this week? Or did they do great last week? Roma Dunze, dud this week. It's just over and over again, you know, you see that time in, time out. But
yeah, how would you ever think that the Bears put up 47 and Roma Dunze is a zero? He's a non-factor, yes. Like literally a non-factor.
Exactly. And so, DJ Moore got a lot of work in there, and he hasn't been producing like that all year. And he just came out of nowhere throwing touchdowns to, you know, Caleb Williams randomly caught two passes for 22 and a touchdown, you know. But yeah, definitely. What is your most exciting game that you might have watched, or I guess box watch as well?
The one that I caught up on last night that really interested me was the Vikings versus the Lions. I wanted to see the return of JJ McCarthy and how that offense looked. You know, again, I talked earlier, like the stats didn't look too good for JJ, but he looked poised. He made some tough throws. He looked like he was in more command and control than we've seen with Carson Wentz. He used his legs to get out of some trouble. I mean, when you have Kevin O'Connell coaching you in your ear all game, you have Justin Jefferson. Yes. It's going to be good. I don't think anything has changed for me. I still think that JJ is going to be able to produce. The rest of season schedule is favorable for him. So I think they get rolling, and yeah, that defense bounced back. They shut down Amon-Ra. They shut down Gibbs. Laporta and Jamo had good games, but you know, you shut down Amon-Ra and Gibbs, and that's the motor for the Lions. And yeah, the Vikings came out on top.
Yeah. Gibbs, 25 yards on the ground and three catches for 3 yards. That's not something you see, especially, you know, in our fast draft. I picked him this week, and in my quick six, did not produce. St. Brown, he had 13 targets, caught 9 for 97. And that is a kind of a bad game if we think about it. You know, with, what was it, 24-27, you're thinking he's going to get more, especially if you see Gibbs getting shut down. Just surprising that way. And even, you know, Jefferson, 6 for 47, had that great one-hand catch, touchdown, but he was second on the team for receiving. But overall, I was impressed with JJ as well. My game was probably, I just wanted to really look and lock into the Bills in Kansas City. Cause I mean, this matters. I mean, what I think Josh Allen's 5-1 regular season against Patrick Mahomes, but 0-4 in the postseason against Patrick Mahomes. This being at home, it's a huge step up for them because, hey, if they face each other in the playoffs, Bills should get the home field advantage. And he only passed for one touchdown, Josh Allen, but he had 273 yards. Surprisingly, a lot of it went to the tight end position. Kincaid, 6-101 and a touchdown. They've been really, really good, the Kansas City defense against tight end, and Kincaid just blew up. But James Cook as well, awesome on the ground.
Yeah, James Cook again. I think we all feared that there was going to be touchdown regression, but he's came back with the efficiency, and I think he's kind of all made us eat our words on that, where he looks great. Like, I think you have to vault him up in your running back rankings. Is this the Kincaid that you thought that we would see kind of coming into the league immediately?
I thought so. You know, but they also still have Dawson Knox, which takes a little bit away, but Knox is their blocking tight end, whereas Kincaid can play the slot, get out there. It's just disappointing seeing that Keon Coleman has yet to produce anything besides 1 week in 2 years, really. And that is what game one, I think he went off this year.
Yeah.
Just seeing that, it's not been pretty. So no. Expect them to be buyers for the trade deadline, I feel.
Yeah, I think they'd be in a great position. I know they're up against the cap, but if you can go and add some of the rumored players that are floating around on the trade block, like a Jacoby Myers, if you can go and get a Jalen Waddle for a big playoff push, I think that's really going to help. Because do you feel confident going in with Shakir and Coleman, or, you know, Elijah Moore catches the odd pass? Dalton Kincaid is, if he's producing now, you know, in playoffs, things tighten up where it might be a bit tougher. He had that really tough drop last year. So I think you're right. I think that the Bills need to go and acquire somebody to help for a playoff push.
Yeah. I felt like Jacoby Myers would make great sense. Kind of do the same thing as what they did last year with Amari Cooper, but it just didn't mesh well.
Mm-hmm.
What was your most surprising game this week, if you have one?
It was the Colts versus Steelers.
Okay.
I had said last week on the Mad Market Value show that Daniel Jones was a buy. Nothing has changed there for me, but the Steelers defense came out and did what I think everybody thought they were going to do heading into the season. They pressured Daniel Jones. The run game was a non-factor. Pittman and Pierce had big games. They were both over 100 yards, but no scores. It just seemed like it was an off week for the Colts, and I don't think we're going to get like New York Giants, Daniel Jones back, but it's just a blip on the radar. I expect them to totally bounce next week. Josh Downs looks good. He was a player that I loved. He gets that slot work. He gets another touchdown. It still shows that Daniel Jones can make all of those receivers viable options in our fantasy leagues.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought Tyler Warren was going to have a big monster game. Especially Tucker Kraft just carved up this defense, 5 for 26. They were playing from behind. You don't see Daniel Jones throwing 50 times at all, especially with how well Jonathan Taylor's been playing. He regressed. He finally came back down to, you know, being a human, not a machine. And he is human after all, everyone. Yeah. And then, you know, Rodgers. Just being Rodgers, there's nothing like spectacular if you look at the box score about any one from the Steelers in general. Like 31 yards led the rushing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It 56 was... for receiving. Nothing special, but the defense made them pay.
Yeah. Three interceptions. Right. I think that's just stereotypical Steelers football that we're used to seeing, right? The defense kind of wears down the other team and they just chip away, and that's the way it went. Nothing flashy. Colts are going to bounce back next week.
Yeah. And for mine was the Carolina beating Packers. I mean, same thing. Nothing flashy in the passing game. Bryce Young still struggles, 102. But finally, Panthers came to their senses and said, Rico Dowell, you just go in there and handle the whole bulk. 130, two touchdowns. Again, when he gets all the carries, it's hard to stop him, as we've seen, three, four times this year already, over 200 yards multiple times, total offense. This week, another big game, and led the team to a win. On the other side, Jordan Love, you know, he struggled, I guess you'd say. He played from behind, but again, we talked about earlier, they lost their number one receiving option in Tucker Kraft. Now, what are they going to do? They have to go back to the drawing board. And is Luke Musgrave that guy? Or maybe a David Njoku they might go out and get? You never know. I mean, this is where it gets interesting, especially being the trade deadline. When everyone watches this video, it's already passed. But, hey.
Yeah.
hard.
I think that's right. They're in a position now. They went and brought in Micah Parsons. If you have the injury to Kraft, like, I don't think with this team that they envision they'd be in the position that they're in. So yep. You have to go and find a replacement and be able to keep it going, right? You had Super Bowl aspirations here. You can't just wave the towel because Tucker Kraft is down.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take a break and hear from the Podfather, and then we'll get into talking about some specific players.
Pour one out for an incredible best ball season. It was a breakout 2025 for Fast Draft, but now the NFL action has started. That means it's DFS season. That's right. You might think, oh, wow, DFS, I can't win DFS. Oh, but you can on Fast Draft. You just pick any six guys and you put them in a handful of booster spots. There's no salary rubric you have to follow. You're not going up against thousands of killer bots in these tournaments. Oh, no, 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 no. These are regular people grabbing their six favorite plays of the week, and that's all you have to do. And we post the ownership so that you can choose how much chalk you want. There is no drafting. It's called the Quick Six Super Slam. The Quick Six Super Slam is the signature DFS contest at Fast Draft. It is changing DFS. We are making DFS great again. So go to fastdraft.app and use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. And let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and download Fast Draft. Mad Dog, you got a promo code?
Yeah, you guys can go ahead and use my promo code. That is DGEN. That is DEGEN. And that'll give you up to a $50 deposit match on your first time entry.
Yeah, go ahead and use his promo code DGEN. Let's get into some of these players. How are we reacting? What do we do with Brian Thomas Jr.? I mean, he hasn't been anywhere close to his ADP. His expectations were so high, especially after his rookie season, but each week he falls lower and lower. What do you think?
Yeah, like for me, it's frustrating and you're not getting return of investment, obviously, but he's still a buy for me. Like we talked earlier, he's been banged up all year. Teams are now onto him knowing that he is the alpha wide receiver. He has Liam Cohen that had an explosive offense in Tampa Bay. I think they're going to figure things out. I'm still stuck on this being more of a Trevor Lawrence problem. You know, if they have to scheme up other wide receivers, we see Parker Washington, we see Dyami Brown, we saw Travis Hunter. I think it's going to be frustrating, but once Brian Thomas gets healthy, Liam Cohen's going to figure out a way to make him the alpha again. So I'm going and buying while his value is suppressed.
Yeah. It's hard for me. I know he's been banged up all year. I thought maybe, you know, last week they're on bye week, so he'd recover a little bit. Comes out this week, no Travis Hunter, and he still gets outshined by Parker Washington this past week. He led the team, and he leaves the game with an ankle injury. Looking at all of his weeks this year, he has 1 week inside the top 30 wide receivers on the week. As when he finished six during week six. Besides that, he's not even close to his production of last year. Does it get better the rest of the season? You think so? That's why you're buying?
Yeah, I think we are going to see a few get what right weeks. Overall, just tough. Again, like the talent is there. We saw it with Mac Jones. It's a few concentration drops from him. I do think that Brian Thomas bounces back and gets closer. I don't think he's a first-round startup pick come next year, but I think he's still going to be in that second or third round, and he's going to provide for us moving forward.
Yeah, I guess hopefully next year his value is going to be dropped in redraft. No one's going to be really excited to draft him in the first, second round, so he could be value of next year. This game this week did just jumpstart Caleb Williams for the rest of the season.
It was good to see finally to get a massive game like that. I think the bag of tricks was almost more suitable to him, kind of comparable to how he was in college. I think Caleb Williams is more of a player that needs to mature and learn how to play under a script or a certain scheme. Ben Johnson was the number one asset player or coach that was coveted this year, and the Bears went and got him. He saw something in Caleb Williams that he wanted. He knew he could work with this. He went and drafted other players. So I think it's just going to be both of them building a better rapport and getting Caleb Williams to kind of calm down and take what is given to him. It's less of like college where he can get away with the defenders. We're going to see that settle out, and Caleb Williams is going to be just fine.
Yeah. For me, I had him as finishing top eight in fantasy. It's great to see that he's producing another week one quarterback overall. Unless I don't know if Sam Darnold trumped him this past week or currently, but this is his second number one overall finish. He's got four inside the top 10, four in the top or outside the top 20 though. So it's that happy medium. As far as jumpstarting his season, the matchup was so juicy that it was bound to be a shootout. You know, toward then had a 56-yard pass to Colson Loveland for a touchdown. Right there jumps his numbers, but you're going to have that, especially, you know, when they're playing from behind. And Kyle Manungai, holy crap, 170-some yards on the ground. I think overall, I guess, I hope it jumpstarts him because I have a lot of shares of him personally. But I think overall, like, we see year in, year out that teams, once they start learning the playbooks with their new head coach, that they just blossom. Where do you think he finishes as quarterback ranking at the end of the season?
I think kind of where he's sitting right now. He's quarterback 13. I think he might sneak in somewhere close to what you said of QB8, or he might fall down to a QB15. So I think where you see him right now is about where he's going to be at the end of the year. Again, build some rapport, keep building on that, and yep, next year I think is when you see him explode.
Yeah, definitely. And he also gives you that rushing upside too, you know, 50 yards on the ground this week. It's another fancy favorite of ours for the quarterback position. Our third guy, though, let's discuss, is Tyrone Tracy. He was one of the most sought-after waiver players last week, if not the top. He found little to no success. Mad Dog, are you buying Tracy or are you selling?
Nah, Tracy has always been a sell for me. We saw that Scatterbu came in and quickly took over that backfield. We've seen Tyrone Tracy be outplayed by Singletary. You know, we saw the Tracy fumbles last year where I don't think Daboll, really, if Daboll didn't have to play Tracy, I don't think he would. It's just kind of his hand is forced, obviously, by that gruesome injury. So, yeah, Tracy was always a sell. If somebody wants to go and take him as a depth piece, that's somebody that I'll be moving off of. No problem.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I know he was, like, in redrafts, really sought after for waivers. I was leaning more Tajay Spears over Tracy just because I think Tony Pollard gets moved at some point this week, hopefully. But, yeah, he, like you said, he got outplayed by Devin Singletary. He's, you know, Tracy finished as 30 currently, and Singletary is 28th on the week at running back position. Yeah. Plus the next, like, handful of games, they face defenses like the Packers, Lions, Patriots, all gray against the run. He's definitely a sell for me. If somebody wants to come get him, come get him. Cool. I'm not going to be holding on to him.
And before we move on, I really like that point on Tajay Spears. I think he's got juice. He's got a good receiving background. Yes, you know, he does have a history of concussion issues, but I think you're right. I think Pollard is probably one of those players that move. The Titans are, you know, they've already had a coaching change. Why do you need to keep an asset like that? I think we're going to see a longer leash on Tajay Spears to end the year, and they're just evaluating this team now to see what they're going to need to bring in come draft season.
Yeah, I mean, even Tajay Spears, end of last year during playoff fantasy, he was a league winner. He was, I think, top 10 in all three championship weeks. So I really like Tajay Spears coming out of the gate, or coming, I guess, into the last part of the season. Aronde Gatson, is he a must-play now for fantasy football? He's looked tremendous the last few games. What is your thoughts?
Must play. I hope everybody bought him a couple weeks ago when he was still tight end 26 on keep trade cut. The passing volume and efficiency that the Chargers have is just making all of those assets playable. Hampton, we don't know when he's coming back. Vidal has been serviceable, but their bread and butter is the pass game. It always has been. And I'm kind of getting Mark Andrew vibes because they have Greg Roman. Like you see that Gadsden has the nuances to find the open space. He's a big body with strong hands that has yak ability. You can tell that he played more as a wide receiver because he did in college. He was converted into a tight end, where I think he's a great piece, a big target for Justin Herbert. So he is a must start for me going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. In the last three games, tight end 2, 3, and currently 9, he's getting the targets from Justin Herbert. Herbert's throwing over 36 times a game. It's not something we really are used to, I feel like, in Harbaugh's system, because he wants to be ground and pound first. But when you lose your top running backs, your top two running backs, have to worry about, you know, Vidal and now Joe Alt, you just got carted off the field. There goes another pillar to your offensive line. So I'm a huge fan of Gadsden. I always have been. I mean, Syracuse is my favorite college, so I know a lot about him. Gadsden's dad played receiver in Miami. He just brings that, I guess, Kyle Pitts-esque, if you will. He's better than Kyle Pitts. He's Kyle Pitts what he wishes, you know, out after his rookie season. And I am playing Gadsden overall every week now.
Absolutely.
The last guy let's talk about, I know we already talked about the Bears, but Kyle Manungai, with DeAndre Swift missing this week, Manungai went off 176 and caught 3 passes for 22 yards. Did he just steal Swift's job?
No, I don't think he stole that. Ben Johnson came in. The one thing that they did establish was the run, and it was with DeAndre Swift. Manungai, I think he's a good piece. He can run in between the tackles and get you those short yardage plays. Again, if somebody wants to go and buy him from me because they believe in the hype, I'm selling him. I think DeAndre Swift is the guy. He brings his receiving chops. He has the speed to get to the outside. I think he's safe.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like maybe it could be the, you know, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs roles coming in for Chicago for Ben Johnson. But this was one of the weaker teams against a run with, I think, Trey Hendrickson didn't even play. That's another guy that's dealing with injury and might be on the move. But last week, I do a start-sit show on Thursday, Friday nights with another co-host of mine. I wanted DeAndre Swift as my starter. Unfortunately, he was ruled out hours after this already out. But I did say play Manungai just because the team that they're facing, the Bengals, was just so weak against the run. And he answered. Swift, you know, he's been dealing with that groin injury, going against a weaker opponent. Why not give him the week off? And ever since the bye week, even, Swift has been running back 6-6 and 15 and has scored a touchdown in all three games. I'm thinking it's more going to be how it was last week, a 55-45 split in favor of DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, there you go. I think that was a great play to get Manungai in there. I had to start him on a few of my punt teams, and unfortunately, how I said, I have 14 projected wins right now, but some of those teams aren't supposed to be winning. So Manungai going and doing that, I'm hoping that I can sell high because I need to shed those points. I really didn't need the what did he put up, 28 in PPR formats. Like,
yeah, something like
it's,
that.
It's good, but for me, I'm going to be trying and shipping them out on a few of those teams today.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, let's get on our top waiver ads and at each position, and we'll get you out of here. Who's your go through your list? You know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end.
Yeah, quick waiver ads. Like I said earlier, I was really excited in watching the Minnesota Vikings play, and that's going to be JJ McCarthy. We've seen the injuries mount up this year. if you're struggling at quarterback, if JJ McCarthy wasn't stashed, he's available in 75% of the league. So I just don't think people had the benches to keep him around. He does have a couple tough matchups rest of the season, but again, he showed the mobility, he showed the poise and the well-timing throws that I think he can be somebody that provides you a safe floor, but also gives you some of those spike weeks moving forward. So that's somebody that I'm going to look at adding moving for the rest of the season. My running back is Michael Carter, available in 74% of the leagues. I don't truly believe that Trey Benson is going to come back and hit the ground running from this meniscus injury. We know that there is Bam Knight. Michael Carter's kind of been moved up and down the lineup. He was on the practice squad. I don't know exactly what those transactions are, but Michael Carter does provide some form of a receiving upside. And depending on game script, he might get the lead share over Bam Knight. That is somebody that I'm looking at adding moving forward. He might be a nice flex play in your redraft leagues. Wide receiver, he's probably going to be the top asset added this week, and that is Torrey Horton. Cooper Kupp is always banged up. It's just somebody that provides a different element to the Seahawks offense. JSN is moving all over the field. He's demanding the most coverage. And as you can see, if you leave Torrey Horton one-on-one, he's burning you. And Sam Darnold has that confidence to throw the ball deep and get the score on you. So if you can, go and drop some fab on Torrey Horton, because for the rest of the season, you want those ceiling plays, and he could end up being a league winner for you. And my tight end, devastating news to Tucker Kraft. So this is an easy one for me. It's Luke Musgrave. He was the tight end on the Packers that everybody wanted just a few years ago. Everybody had him ranked higher than Tucker Kraft. We had both said that Green Bay kind of runs their offense through the tight end. You don't know what receiver to play. The smash play is just putting Luke Musgrave in there. Jordan Love is comfortable finding a tight end. I think Luke Musgrave has been in that system long enough that he can come in and he can produce. Yeah, he's dealt with his own injuries. But again, you have to take a shot and try and tread water and find that ceiling play for your redraft teams.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with each and every one of those. I love the Luke Musgrave, as you know. mine for quarterback is Joe Flacco. He's available in 47% of leagues. This is more of a stash player if you need somebody weeks 11, 12, 13, because they are on bye week this week. But this Bengals defense is just so terrible. We already talked about it, meaning Flacco has to keep firing it away. Since joining the team, he's been quarterback 14, 6, 7, and currently 2. Like, he just gets all the passing volume. But again, he is a stash play, so if you need somebody week 10, he is not your guy. So go after JJ McCarthy, like you said. My running back is Isaiah Davis. He's probably out there right now. I didn't know how much percentage he's in there, but I've been saying it. You know, I think he's going to get all the volume because I think Breece Hall is going to be traded. Or if he's not traded, what's the benefit for the Jets to keep playing him? There really is no benefit because he's not going to be here next year. So the only thing that you could get is compository pick for when he signs. But overall, I think Davis is much valuable down the stretch where you're going to need him in your playoffs. And he adds that PPR format. He gets catches left and right. Great ad for him. So I'm keeping Isaiah Davis as a waiver ad.
Yeah, and that's somebody available in 65% of your leagues. And I really like that you brought up the receiving chops. We saw that last year where he ended up being a more valuable receiving target than that of Breece Hall. So I like definitely. That ad.
Yeah. And then for wide receiver, Parker Washington. It's unknown what's going on with Travis Hunter. I like Washington to be a fill-in. He just led the team in receiving this past week. And he's number 2 behind Thomas. Thomas also left with an injury. Parker Washington is currently wide receiver 14 on the week. That gets volume late in the season with bye weeks and injuries. So I am picking up Parker Washington, and he could be easily streamed going forward this this week.
Absolutely available in 74% of leagues. And I actually picked him up last week because my redraft team has just been decimated by those injuries, and he went and dropped 23 points for me. My team is out of it. So, you know, maybe a tough move going at adding him. I don't think the league mates enjoyed it, but yeah, he went and had a big week for me.
Yes, definitely. He could keep on producing just because, I mean, he is number two wide receiver on this team right now with Hunter out. My tight end, Colson Loveland, he might have had just the breakout game that we're wanting and needing from him. 73% of leagues he's available. Cole Kmet left with another injury, concussion. Usually they tend to not play the following week if they do have a concussion. It's a favorable matchup for the Bears against the Giants at the tight end position. And the rest of the season, he could be the guy that you want as your tight end position player.
And that was somebody coming out of Michigan that we thought was more pro-ready. He's not more of a Dalton Kincaid that has to be your slot receiver. Loveland stays on the field for blocking downs. He has that yak ability. He's a big target. I really like this play from you.
Yes, definitely. And then I'm going to just touch on it. Luke Musgrave, like you already said, again, he was drafted higher than Tucker Kraft. Even look on Player Profiler. In that 2023 draft, he was the third rank tight end compared to Tucker Kraft, fifth. He was 17th of all positions during that 2023 draft. Tucker Kraft was 43rd. And finally, he was ranked 18th of all tight ends all time of 528. Tucker Kraft was 92. So he's got a lot of athletic ability, and the depth chart is wide open. He's finally healthy. He's been battling, you know, injuries, concussion, ankle, lacerated kidney all his rookie year, last year quad strain, ankle injury, but he's finally healthy. No one ahead of him in the depth chart. I'm adding Musgrave, just like you said.
Yeah, love that one. It's kind of survival mode in our redraft leagues, and I think that Luke Musgrave can be somebody that's well worth the money spent.
Yes, definitely. So if you're needing somebody, go ahead and pick him up the rest of the season. That's going to do it for us, Mad Dog. Again, I appreciate you jumping on. Let the fans and listeners know where to find your stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me on. Anytime I can get behind the mic and chat with you about this, it's a blast. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_TheMadDog. You can join our Dynasty Degens Discord. That is free. You can hit up myself or Nerdboy on Twitter. That's @NerdboyTakes. You can find more of my work on Player Profiler Now News Desk, and my show that drops every Wednesday called the Mad Market Value Show, where I talk about buys and sells throughout the week, kind of how to navigate the Dynasty landscape. And a new show that I'll be joining next week with the Fantasy Sports Advice Network is The Last Call on Monday nights, where that is just a weekly recap where we're going to talk about the games that passed. We're going to talk about waivers moving forward and the weeks beyond.
Yeah, awesome. Be sure to check that out. Follow myself at Twitter, LouisLewis5. And I will be back on here Wednesday night. I'm recording this week, so it'll be out on Thursday for Start Sits. Again, appreciate it, Mad Dog, and anytime I could have you on, let me know.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
All right. For the rest of you, peace out, fantasy heads.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.